Everyone has an opinion when it comes to having a baby and raising kids. Just get the epidural. There's no prize for doing it natural. In my day, we just let the baby cry until they settle themselves down. Have you tried sage oil? And so many more comments, most of them unsolicited. Welcome to the Birth and Parenting Things podcast. My name is Kim, and I've got opinions too. I'm kind of an expert on birth. I've also managed to raise 3 babies into young adults. I'm here to offer evidence-based information, stories, personal experiences on birth, parenting, and everything in between. So let's do this. Hello, and welcome to Birth and Parenting Podcast. I am your host, Kim Fernandez. And as usual, as soon as I hit record, my animals start moving around, but that's okay because it is what it is. So, I can't remember if I mentioned last week because my brain is generally in a fog 365 days a year. But the health issues are still ongoing. Whatever. It is what it is. I went for a non-stress test at the hospital, or not the hospital, at my cardiologist. And yeah, whatever. I came out, because I had to have the monitors on again, and I came out with the splotches all over my body. I'm clearly allergic to something in those little sticky pads. And had my first mental health, therapy session, which I don't know. I'll see how it goes. I mean, she was nice enough, but I don't know. I don't think it's going to be quite what I'm expecting. I think I just need somebody I can just unload to, but I get the feeling this person's going to want to change the way I think, and I get it, but it's like she's kind of making an assumption about me before we've really sort of dug into things, and it's fine. I'm not paying for it, so what are you going to do? But I'll see how it goes the next few weeks. I don't have another session for until 3 weeks from now. And I have some homework to do. So I'll see how that goes. And yeah, I guess I kind of do need to change some of the way I'm thinking. But I think some of the issues I have is just the overwhelming crap in my life. But whatever. We'll see how it goes. So yeah. But the good weather's coming, and on a positive note, I have been able to do some journaling every day. I have managed to do that for a few days in a row. Woohoo, me. I have also kept up with my movement. So while I don't have a huge step count that I want to do each day, I was able to surpass that by like 1,000 steps 2 days in a row. So we'll see how that goes. And yeah, I was very excited. I had a really good feedback from a recent client who said that she had given my name to one of the social workers at the hospital where I work about me as a resource and helping her through the first couple of weeks with her anxiety, which was very helpful. And they took my information to use as a resource. So that's very exciting. I do enjoy working virtually with new postpartum moms, especially in those first couple of weeks where things can be a bit iffy and you're just not sure what to do, especially if you have some high anxiety. So I'm very happy about that. Anyways, so that's kind of me in a nutshell, as if you cared, my 3 viewers, 3 listeners. I'm almost sure, however, that I'm actually some of those listeners, but whatever. I swear to God, this is really just a vlog, and if nobody listens to it, that's okay. Anyways, this week we're going to talk about, in our newborn must-have series, we're going to talk about nice-to-haves, but they aren't really a priority. Now, these are things that you can use, but they don't need to be purchased really in the first couple. They don't need to be purchased before baby comes. You can save up for them if you need to, or simply not purchase them at all. So I know that when I got pregnant, I got really excited about going to create the baby registry. Now, back in the day, I think we went to Sears. Sears had a baby registry program. Toys R Us and Babies R Us were like really not a thing 23 years ago. So we went in and we just literally added everything we could find onto that list to see whatever, what people would get us. And yes, so the items, a lot of the items that we had were, in reality, we could pretty much live without. But we'll start with getting a high chair. Now, you will eventually potentially need a high chair, but your newborn isn't going to need a high chair. You're not going to need one for probably 6-7 months. And that's usually when baby starts taking in solid food and they can sit by themselves and hold their head up by themselves and support their own body. But you may want to consider what kind of high chair you're going to get and what's going to work for you. Don't just randomly put anything onto your list. Don't get the most expensive one. Have a look and see, what space do you have? If you're living in a small condo in downtown Toronto, you're going to want something that maybe folds up flat and can slide in next to the fridge or something like that, so it isn't going to be out constantly and taking up a whole lot of room, right? The next thing on the list is a change table. And I can say in all honesty that when I had the nursery set up and the change table and all the supplies set up, that was pretty much the last time I looked at it until the baby was much older. And even then, it wasn't used all that much. With my newborn, I changed them wherever we were, in my bedroom, in the living room, wherever. You'd be better off, especially in those first few months, creating, if you live in a multi-level home, creating some diaper stations. So in the various areas, so in your bedroom, in the downstairs, where you may spend most of your time, things like that. And this creating, and it doesn't have to be, I know like J. Crew and all this stuff have, I don't know if J. Crew even exists still. But they have, you know, Pottery Barn and all these things. They have these lovely little caddies that you can use to create your diaper station. You know what you can also do? You can go to the dollar store and get a like $1, $2, $3 plastic cleaning caddy and just fill it with diapers and wipes and a change of clothes and a pad to lay baby down on. That's it. You don't need anything expensive for it. So, and doing that, having those diaper stations all over the house, you won't have to travel, you know, especially if you live in a multi-level home, you won't have to travel all over Hell's Half Acre to change a diaper. And keep in mind, you're going to be changing a diaper 8 to 10 times per day, especially in the beginning. So a change table is not necessarily necessary. Now, what I do like is, we had one for the boys, is it was a change table that turned into just a dresser. So there was the change table that you flipped down to make it a table, but there was a dresser underneath it. And then afterwards it folded back up and it just became shelves. So that's a great way to not have to spend tons of money for and save space for baby. So change table top with a dresser is a better option than just a change table alone. Now, a baby monitor. Again, a baby monitor may be something that you use eventually, but it won't be necessarily until baby's about 6 months or older. In the first 6 months, it's recommended that baby sleep next to an adult in the nighttime hours. And this is to help prevent or combat sudden infant death syndrome or sudden unexpected infant death, which is the death of an infant under the age of 1 year for no known medical reason. And even for daytime sleep, baby should be close by, particularly when you're feeding baby a lot. When it comes to buying a monitor, do your research. Get the best hack-proof one that you can get. So 23 years ago, monitors were just sound, which wasn't necessarily a bad thing. And they just had two channels, A and B. And then I remember one night, I kept hearing my son cry. And he was just in the other room in our tiny little 1950s home. But I kept getting up to go in, but he wasn't crying. He was fast asleep. And I realized later the next day that I wasn't hearing my son. I was hearing the baby down the street. A woman down the street had had a baby. He was a little bit older, I think, than my son. And that's who I was actually hearing. So the channels were getting crossed and I was hearing her son. And God knows what she was hearing from my house. But I switched the channel and it fixed everything. Now, these days with Wi-Fi and video monitors, we have to be worried about unscrupulous people spying on our babies. So make sure that you can get ones that are hack-proof. And to be quite honest, do you really need to monitor your baby over your phone? Do we really just need to hear them crying? Anyways, I'm not a huge fan for technology when it comes to babies. I prefer a keep it simple approach, but you do you. Activity mats can be helpful when baby enters a period of needing more entertainment and learning, but there are so many ways to manage tummy time and play time that an expensive activity mat isn't really necessary. There are great YouTube videos that you can navigate, that you can use to navigate for playtime with baby to help with tummy time and with, you know, just learning and downloading information into your brain. And bouncy chairs and swings. So everybody, my cat is freaking out right now, of course. Bouncy chairs and swings. We in North America do tend to put our babies into bouncy chairs and swings a lot. And these can be helpful in giving us a break from carrying baby around and allowing us some no-touch time from baby, which is incredibly important. However, especially in the first few months, your baby will want to be held a lot. Quite a lot. So consider focusing on wearing your baby to give you some hands-free time. And when baby gets a bit older, you can introduce a chair or a swing. We do want to ensure though that baby doesn't need a ton of time in a chair or a swing. And if they are in that swing or chair or car seat or whatever for long periods of time, this can contribute to that sort of idea of flathead syndrome. So absolutely consider wearing your baby. And wearing your baby, I should probably do a whole separate thing on baby wearing, but I'm not that advanced at it, so maybe we'll find you somebody who can. Anyways, finally, pacifiers. Now, keep in mind, even though I'm a doula, I am 100% not anti-pacifier. Having a pacifier can be helpful for a baby who wants to suck often to soothe themselves, and that can leave you a break, especially if you are feeding primarily from the body. But they are not necessarily necessary for the first few weeks. I will suggest, especially in the first 1, 2, 3 weeks, if you can get away without using a pacifier. Babies have 3 growth spurts and 3 cluster feeding times at this period, and we want to make sure that we're not plugging baby in with a pacifier when they are actually hungry. I will often suggest that if body feeding is the goal, that we kind of wait until after that 3-week growth spurt to introduce one. Waiting can ensure that nipple confusion is less likely to happen. In reality, it's sort of a change in the way baby sucks. Differently on a pacifier than on the breast, but if we can try to avoid it, that's great. But if you can't and it's going to help you and it's going to give you a break, do what you need to do. Don't worry about it. All right. That's kind of it. That was my list. Next week, I'm going to go over, items that are really unnecessary and can potentially be dangerous for baby. And then that'll be the end of our series, and I'll have to come up with something else to make podcasting a little bit easier for myself, especially during this period of time when my mental health is in the toilet. All right. I hope that was nice and quick and short and sweet for you. And if you have any questions, you can 100% email me at birthandparentythings@gmail.com. You can check me out on Instagram. You can check me out on TikTok because I started doing that again, at least for a week, and we'll see how it goes. And I hope everybody has a great day. All right. Bye.